Zakta Gemara. Now again, this Gemara is exciting because it may begin to touch, or at least it certainly opens our eyes to what we'll probably be doing next semester in terms of the third parak with Chezkas Abatim and what's called Chezkas Karkaos. There are two different issues when it comes to Chazakos. We have Chezkas Karkaos, which means a Chazaka. You have to define, obviously, when it relates to land, versus Chezkas Tashmishin, which is a chazaka, which is dependent on usage. Either way, the issue is that, again, you have two people. One is using and or squatting on another person's land. And the question is at what point the fact that I've been there for so long already, or I've been doing this for so long, at what point is that relevant? Who cares? Right? Does something become mine just because I have been on that land? I squatted for long enough, and do we believe in a such thing as, you know, squatter's rights? And I can just take over your field? Or is there something more which is going on over there? Or if I've been using something that belongs to you for a certain amount of time, at some point, can you no longer take that away? That is the topic at hand over here. So let's see, again, the particulars and the Rishonim over here. So it says the Gemara, Vav Amar Aleph, Amar Reb Nachman, Achzik Lehurdi, Lo Achzik Lekshuri. Lekshuri Achzik Lehurdi. Wow, deep statement. What on earth does that mean? What does that mean? So let's, we're going to skip ahead. If you look at the Rashi, so the first Rashi in our Sugya starts off Tosos. Right? It's the Rashbam. Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, as were many of the Bali Tosos. So why exactly, sort of historically, these Rashbams occasionally pop their way in to our Rashi uniquely? I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that we have the Rashbam later than the Septa. But I don't fully, somebody can like do a PhD and let me know, and we'll figure it out. I don't really know exactly how the development was. That one is a very important point that the Rashbam makes, but it doesn't help us with the pshat and the word. So we're going to skip to the Rashi afterwards. Achzik lehurdi, laniach Rashi rehitim dakim al gozach avera. He is taking narrow, small, thin boards is the right word. Boards implies it's thick, but rods, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, poles, and leaning them on the wall, on the other guy's wall. Right, that's the achzik. So achzik lehordi, he's doing a kozver. Lo achzik lekshuri, laniach lekoros pedos tachas elos. So again, kshuri are called heavy boards, and lehordi are light poles. So if I have been leaning my light poles on the wall, that does not give me the right to then put the heavier boards. If I have been leaning my heavy boards, then I do have the right to lean my thinner poles. Okay? Again, we'll explain everything in a moment. And Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef says, Achzik lehurdi, achzik lekshuri. He says, no! No! Even if I only have a chazaka in terms of using it to put the light board, the light poles, I can even put the heavy boards. Now, which one of the two is more intuitive? What would you have said? And then again, the Gemara tells an ikadari which flips them around. So we'll read it to be able to say. But again, that's not the critical point for us. What would I have said? Right, l'chora, what Rav Nachman says is pashut. Right, what Rav Nachman says is pashut. If I'm able to put something, and I have some sort of right, because I've been doing it for so long, to lean something light against your wall, so what's the svar behind it? It seems to have something to do with, well, you don't mind. Okay, but now if I put something heavier, why don't I have the right to mind at that point? 100 pounds, my wall can withstand. You start leaning a thing at 1,000 pounds, it's going to damage my wall. Of course I mind. In which case, the question then becomes, so then what is Rabbi Yosef saying? How can Rabbi Yosef come along and tell us that, well, a chazaka is a chazaka is a chazaka. And if I have a chazaka to lean, I can lean whatever it is that I choose. So again, in order to understand that, we first have to understand what's the issue at hand here. So now let's go back to that Tosfos Rashbam in the Rashi over here. Achzuka dehorde. Kol chazakos halalu dishmaizin. All of the chazakos in our sugya. Einan chezkos shalosh shanim. Are not talking about a chezkos shalosh shanim. What is chezkos shalosh shanim? Chezkos shalosh shanim is code word for chezkos karkos. This is the classic chezkos gimel shanim. Why? We'll see snippets of it in a moment, and we'll see Mitzvah Shem a lot more of it later. But we'll try to get the points that we need for now. Delo shayach shalosh shanim elagabe chezkos karka. Because 3 years only makes sense in the context of land. Shemafsi b'zdei chavero. Because what happens? I am sitting in your field. Ve'omer lekachtia mimcha. And I claim, right? If I sit in the field and I say, yeah, the field is yours, but I've been here for a really long time, so now it's mine. And we say, so long, brother, you're out of here. Right? There's no such thing. No such thing. But if I claim sitting in there for so long, and I say, you know why I'm sitting here? I'm sitting in there for the last 4 years because I bought it from you.
Then
that is going to be believed. What's the significance of the 3 years? So you may have seen slight references to this, but the 3 years is more or less the amount of time that we... So what if it was less than 3 years? Why am I not believed? So we say, show me the proof. Show me the shtar. Show me the shtar. Right? The land is changing hands. There's got to be some sort of documentation. There's got to be a deed. So where's the deed? So that basically pushes him out. What happens magically at 3 years? The same way with the IRS, right? I think up to 7 years, you're responsible to make sure that you hold on. I don't want to count you guys correctly. Maybe that's just a made up thing. There's some kind of concept of 7 years. Nobody counting those in much. Up to a certain amount of time, you're expected to still have your documents. After 3 years, you can claim, I lost it. But I need to have what we call you need to have two things in order to make chazkas karkos. You need one is the chazaka, that I'm there, and two is you need a taina. You need a claim. It's not enough to just be there and say, magically now it's going to belong to me again. The full breadth of this is the third part. Right? But that's what we need for right now. We're just talking about a chazaka that relates to usage. I'm using my friend's thing. Have your chazaka. And again, this is a topic which comes up with Chazkas Karkos also, right? You need the guy to have seen, because you need to assume that he tried to, that he wanted to get rid of you. So here, says Rashbam, when it comes to Chazkas Tashmishin, the important factor is that the guy see and not care. If the guy sees and doesn't care, then you can have a chesed, then you're allowed to continue using it. Kedemuchach lekaman, as will become clear later on, daminan v'yichabrei betina, if you connect it with some sort of cement, but al tabi chazaka, it's a media chazaka. Why? V'tayim mishum, d'amrina, we're going to say, lo shavik inish l'timuchim, so shalosh, tashmi shal kfis, lo reshuso. He came to Mishnah and he said, "Lefana v'shosek Yishomah de Nata Rishus Menem Unasal No Maman Umachal Otashmish Zeh." Oh, that line was very, very important. What did the Rashbam just tell us? How do I know that it can be less than 3 years? Because there's a Gemara later on that says that as long as the guy saw, it can be immediate. Why? Because we can interpret that maybe he bought it, or maybe he was mocheltim, or something like that. Why is that significant? Because Cheskas Tashmishin, right, does not require Gimoshanim, but does it require a Taina? Meaning, can I say, I have the right to use your wall because I have been using your wall and you never said anything? So tough luck. Similar to what we say, you can't say by karka. You can't say by karka. Well, I've been sitting here for 3 years, so now it's mine. No, you have to say, I've been sitting here for 3 years, and that bolsters my taina that you sold it to me. Or that you gave it to me. I have to have something. So if you're doing some sort of taina, says the Rashbam, yes. Yes. But now we understand the taina. And now he says it explicitly. The only time it's going to be chazaka, kigon shetoeinu, if he claims machali or nasa libi matana, aval ntoayan, nishtamashli befana bishosak, ina chazaka. Ina chazaka. Just the tashmish alone, using it alone, is not considered to be a chazaka. So again, according to the Rashbam, you require a taina. You require a taina. So in this case, when the guy was putting his lighter boards on it, right? He's claiming that he bought that right. The question is, once he bought that right, is the heavier board included in that also? But that's basically what we're saying. When I bought that right, and I done it in front of him, or he gave me that right, right? How expansive is that? Right? We're going to have a Mishnah Mufreshes later on that a chazaka without a taina, meaning chazaka does not create a new reality. It doesn't create it. It creates a raya to a reality. It supports it that we can have, but there's no such, again, there is a such thing as a kinyan of chazaka, but that's not this. Right? The kinyan of chazaka, we said, was na'al gadar parat. You did an action which connotes ownership. That's what we call cheska. That's not cheskas karkos that we're talking about here. Right? Kate said, Amar lo mato, so what are you doing in my field? Amar li, shalom amar li, adam dar meol. Nobody ever said anything to me. Ain't a chazaka. Just claiming, well, nobody threw me out. That might work in 2021 in the United States or something, but that does not work. It does not work in Torah. And he says that Mishnah, which is called Chazaka, Shemini, Matayim, and Chazaka, right? That Mishnah establishes the rules, right? My Kol Chazaka, She'ein, Imataina, Eina Chazaka, does not distinguish between Cheskas Gemoshonim or Cheskas Tashmishin. So says the Rashbam, they are the same. They're the same. And they have to be for 3 years. But they're the same in that they require a taina. Why does it not need the 3 years? Because there's enough of a support. The fact that I used it in front of you, you didn't see it. We don't have any shtar issue when it comes here. So we don't need to go to the full length of the 3 years. 3 years. Does everybody agree to this? The answer is, of course not. Why would everybody agree? Right? So it's a major machlokas we've shown them here. So if you saw Rabbi Yona, Amar Rav Nachman, Apsik Lahurdi Lohapsik Lachiri, Kula Shmaitzim Lachazaka, Sheyeshima Taina. They're talking about that there is a Taina. Whoa. What does Rabbi Yonah say? Rabbi Yonah told us,
Yeah, you know, there's a sugya later on in the third parak that you're going to learn more about in a few months that talks about Cheskas Gimel Shanim. That's not just talking about Cheskas Karkos, that's also Cheskas Tashmishin.
So the Rashbam told us that you need a Taina. Right? Right? Aim Sarah Gimel Shanim, you do not specifically need 3 years. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, right, Sarah Taina v'Gimel Shanim. Meaning,
these two are the same. There's one sugya of Chazaka,
and it includes Cheskas Karkos, or Cheskas Tashmishin. And or Cheskas Tashmishin. Both are included.
Wow. Now, in Svara, it's hard to understand, but parts of the complication of understanding it are a little hard for us to understand because we haven't seen the third parak so well. Again, the more it has to do with it showing a raya that it, you know, shtar or something along those lines, it's hard to buy into it. He'll probably respond and say, okay, but we don't have something else, meaning how much time is the appropriate time? So the answer to that question, how much time is the appropriate time, is given by the Yad Ramah, who has a different opinion. Says the Yad Ramah. Now this Yad Ramah is Yad Ramah is tucked away, not on this sugya directly, but at the end of Os Nun Tes. So there's a paragraph that's in here on page Sadi Dalad. There's a paragraph that starts Elam Estavar. In the middle, he writes again the juxtaposition and the contrast that he is drawing is not as essential for us right now. When it comes to a chazaka of tashmish, of using it, or some sort, again, this is maybe more of the type of chazaka than the next case of the water dripping. This is sort of exemplary damage in a zikin. Since the fact, what's the essence of the chazaka? The essence of the chazaka is that I didn't protest to you doing it. If it bothers me, you can't say something. You can't wake up later. So he says, well, all you need in terms of the chazaka is that a person should see and not protest. So why is it Gimel Shanim? The only reason that it's Gimel Shanim, he says, is because that's the amount of time you're supposed to hold on to your shtar for. So we can't say, ach v'shtarcha. Give me your shtar to support it. And the fact that I don't have a shtar to support it undermines my taina. Oh. So if it undermines my taina, that's not good. That's only I'm expecting to hold on to it for 3 years. There's no shtar on using somebody's wall. It doesn't require a shtar. So he says, okay, well, if there's no shtar, and there's no, and he already refused to, and he already didn't protest, so then what's the end result? How do we know? Meaning, how long is the right amount of time? Ela b'toras keva b'toras arai talya milsa. He says, you know what it has to depend on? It has to depend on how permanent does the usage seem to be? How permanent is it to be? If somebody just leans into their thing against your wall one time, you might not say something. Why? Because he's using it temporarily, okay? I'm not so happy about it. But I'll be neighborly. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. You're dripping your gutters into my property. I won't say anything. But once it's done and it's oifen, it's clear that it's kavua, so then if I don't say something, that's on me. That's on me. How long is that? Suggest the Yad Ramah based on a Gemara a little bit later on. And again, it's not surprising. It's usually a good amount of time in Halakha, 30 days.
So how much time? How much time is considered to be a significant amount of time? This is what we usually see in halacha.
30 days.
Oh. So he says,
El b'toras keva b'toras araita l'imilsa. Kolecha d'lomo l'tzos in yomin. And as long as 30 days has not passed, the inyan yomei araita d'da l'imilchazaka. That's a normal amount of time of temporariness, I guess. Right? That's not a chazaka. Umechimal l'tzos in yomin. But once 30 days has passed, v'izbar d'chazin. And we know that the guy who's being damaged saw. He should have protested.
Vishasik havya chazaka. That is a chazaka.
Devadai likviusa kamechave. He certainly is intending to leave it there permanently.
V'yada nizak v'kamachal.
And he was meichel. Mi didahavek shura dimetalabasa. As you find in the case of the shura dimetalabasa, which is the Gemara later on. What does it sound like? It sounds like, I think
it sounds like, according to the Yad Ramah, that you need 30 days and you don't need a taina. Right? He sounded like it's a mechila. Can I backtrack on my mechila? We had that discussion earlier. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe that's exactly the point here. Because if not, then what's the point of the sugya? The only point would be, can I charge you for the past?
Sounds like I gave you a right. And maybe once I've given that up, maybe I can't back out anymore.
That seems to be what Yad Ramah is saying. Let's just get it down over here, and I'll take the question.
So Yad Ramah says, right? Right? Chazaka is taloi b'kvius. Right? Which we said is 30 days. But interestingly, the Chazanish, we saw part of the Chazanish yesterday, but the Chazanish there also says that it's not a Xeris HaKasav of 30 days. 30 days is a normal Shira Kviyas. If in the Einei Hadayim, it's clear that to anybody, this guy was planning on doing a Kviyas,
and it's less time, or maybe this particular usage requires more time, then that's what it would be.
Right? The Yadamah is not claiming a Xeris HaKasav of 30 days.
He's just saying that normally shows that what I'm doing is kavua.
But if what I'm doing is not considered to be kavua, because again, whatever the circumstances are, then that would qualify as a chazak, again, or not as well. We could use other factors. Yes.
30 days.
It's a good question. Again, obviously he has to know that the 30 days were there. So does that mean he needs to? We need to know that he saw it and that he knows that it's here for a long time.
So maybe that requires two vision, you know, two scenes. I think he's saying both. Because again, without that, what proof is there really? If he saw it on day one and only thought it was temporary.
So either he sees it once and he asks somebody, you know, how long has it been like that? And the guy says, you know, 40 days. That might qualify also. But he would have to have knowledge of both, according to the Yad Ramah. I think that's clear. He doesn't say it explicitly. But otherwise his svara makes no sense. Oh. Okay. Good? Good. So now, again, this took us a little bit off track.
Not in a bad way. But we need to understand now.
So again, so what we were saying before
is that Rav Nachman's Shita is the more pashut one, right? Because if I gave you some sort of right to use it for part, for say for the lighter version, why would we assume that that automatically means that I'm going to use it for the heavier version also? So none of what we explain here necessarily dictates that should be wrong. So what's the svar of Rav Yosef, again, according to Yikudam, according to Rav Nachman, what's the svar of the opinion that says that if I'm mafzik for the lighter one, then now I can put the heavier one on it as well? That seems to be, again, a difficult svar. Right?
Oh. So what is the svara for that? So the idea seems to be, and again, a lot of this is rooted in a comment of the Beis Yosef, is that if we're viewing it as either, which again will help us to say it this way, because we're not going to be, again, if you hold that it requires a taina, like the Rashbam or Rabbeinu Yonah, and he's saying that he bought it, so there is a compelling svara to say that when I buy a right, I don't buy it halfway. Right? If I'm purchasing, which again is basically what we're saying according to those shittos, right? If I'm really purchasing a right, then it's misdaber to say I purchased the right to lean things on your wall. And that we didn't necessarily, unless the other guy can prove otherwise, we did not explain how many pounds it could be. So if I happen to be doing that now, then, again, if there was no taina involved, and it was just, well, I'm doing this, I can continue doing that, so then it's a little bit more difficult of a svara to say. But once the pshat is, and again, this seems to be the pshat according to everybody, that I either bought it, or even if there's a mechila, even if you want to say the Aramah, that there's some sort of implied mechila, so the pashtus is that is on that right, not on the scenario. Right? The scenario is how much weight am I putting on the wall right now? So then I'm like, it's only white things. Who says that I'm okay with heavier things? But if that's not what it is, if I'm giving you a certain usage of the wall, so then the simplest understanding of usage might actually be that I'm using it for leaning, and the amount of weight doesn't necessarily matter, right? If the chazaka was the only thing to create the reality, then we understand that maybe it should be limited to what I'm doing. But it's not just the chazaka. The chazaka is part of this larger process. That's what the Beis Yosef seems to say. Is that he's talking even about the chila? Is that there's no chila between kavdus and kalus, right? The weight isn't really what is being questioned. It's really the issue at hand. Really, the issue at hand is a certain right, and that if you're going to sell it, Rabbi Mocha, it does make sense, at least according to Yosef. Again, Rabbi Nachman is going to argue on this and say that no, I sold you the right, but why would I sell it to you completely if it's potentially going to be more damage? I am taking that into effect. But again, there at least now there's what to talk about that maybe I'm going to give it away in a more complete way. Oh. Now, there is a daya which is brought in the Ramban and in the Rashba that suggests that Rav Yosef, when he was allowing it, was only allowing you to switch what you are leaning, but not to put more weight. Which changes the whole nature of the machlokas. Meaning, this opinion would say, yeah, you certainly cannot do and inflict any more damage than whatever the chazaka was on. Whatever the chazaka was on. But what you're leaning? Why does that matter? So meaning, if let's say 10... Right, if 10 of the kalos equals 3 of the kvedos, so what difference does it make? Again, the heavier ones and the lighter ones. So if I've been leaning 10 of the lighter ones there, so what difference does it make if I switch to 3 of the heavier ones? The same weight. So they suggest that was all Rav Yosef was allowing. This more extreme formulation that we just tried to come up with, that no, I gave you the right completely, This opinion, Gemara, the Rashban, the Ramban, they don't quote from who it's from. They would assume like that. If you assume like that, so now, which is more mistaber, Rav Yosef. Now the guy's going to honor Rav Nachman. Why would Rav Nachman say you can't switch if Rav Nachman's taking any more damage? The reason that we understood Rav Nachman, who says, oh, if you're doing the light ones, you can't do the heavy ones, is because what right do you have to do more damage? But if I'm not doing more damage, because the weight is equal, so why would Rav Nachman say no? Makes Rav Nachman get flips. It flips it around.
And you would have to say that Rav Nachman is going to say that the guy is concerned, once you start switching things, that you're going to put on more, you're going to put on the number, or something like that. But again, it becomes a much more detailed specific machlokas than a much more general discussion. Oh. Good?
So this is the approach of the majority of the Rishonim to this sugya. However, there is another approach as well. And that is brought down also in several of the Rishonim. The Ritva, the Rashba, and others as well. And the basic idea that they claim is that this sugya is not talking about cheskas tashmishin. It's not talking about cheskas tashmishin.
What's the advantage to saying this way?
Well, let them understand. So why is this Gemara being brought here? They're going to say it's going back on our case of the Mishnah.
According to everybody else, why is it brought here? We're talking about walls. We're talking about Rav Nachman. So you know the Gemara will sometimes, dray a cup, as they say, and we'll go with the related things that aren't exactly the same. But others suggest that it has nothing to do with Cheskas Tashmishin, right? It's our Mishnah, right? If Shimon builds a wall above four amos. And he wants to claim that he paid, is the fact that he's leaning his things on it any raya in terms of that discussion? So again, you see the Ritva says, this is going back on our Mishnah. You see it in the Rashba as well. You see it in the Rashba and the where did that line go? See it in the Ramban, right? The Ramban. Yesh Mefarshin Damas Nisan Kai.
It's going back in our Mishnah. Lomar Shimbon Afan Mishelo. That if one guy builds the above, Vihim Sikha Akharka Zeh, and the other guy does Chazaka, is some Asham Roshe Hurdi Afli Lichuri. And he starts putting his Hurdi there, then he's going to Lichuri as well. Damrin, if you say Paisli Gamri,
this smells on Kedera Shailo, this smells Halo. He allowed him to do it. He doesn't say it's limited. Why should it be true? Because they both own the land that it's on. Because that is the land of the Kosel, again, when it is below the Dalit Amos. Notwithstanding that, so again, that is a minority view in the Rishonim, which again, we can see where it's covered. Remember, it doesn't read as small, but notwithstanding all of that, by the time we get to the next case in the Gemara, then everybody agrees that we're talking about Cheskas Tashmishin.
So it's not that we get to avoid the discussion completely, it's just the segue from sugya to sugya is a little bit better. But if you look at the Rashba, the Ramban, they point out in the coming sugya,
in the next part, that that according to everybody, we're talking about Chezkas Tashmishin. So again, and it's similar. And how does it play out? Look back in the Gemara. Amar of Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Achzik lenatvei, achzik leshavtei, achzik leshavtei, achzik lenatvei." So if you have something dripping into your neighbor's chatzer, and the small drips, then you can't have the gutter coming for a larger one. Rav Yosef Amar filu achzik leshavtei, achzik lenatvei. Even if you're achzik for the opposite, right? Achzik lenatvei, if you have the chazaka for, which are the natvei, Rashi says, right, ha'isalo chazaka b'chatzik haver she'itaftiv gaga megisham nesel ha'pen kol orach gaga below marzev. It's pouring out out of God, then after the shavti, matzah asim marzev, yekam yagavakum echad adif alei ba'chatzir.
So if it was normally, I guess it was flowing off the whole roof, that's going to be worse for the chatzir than if the gutter zeroes it into one spot.
So if your chazaka is on everything, on the equivalent of the heavier, then it's okay for the lesser as well. But if you are achzik l'shavtei, if you only have the marzev, then it's not going to work for the natvei. And if Yosef says, no, if you achzik l'shavtei, achzik l'natvei, even the lesser one, give the same svara. And Yikadamir, I'm not going to achzik l'shavtei, achzik l'natvei, not achzik l'shavtei, just turns them around. Aval tzrifa de'orvene lo. But if you want to redo your roof in a way that's going to produce more rain, no. If Yosef Mar Filot Srivadurvine, you could even do it for that. And Avad Yosef Uvdavit Srivadurvine, he allowed it even for the Srifa Durvine. Now, the assumption here, and this is what the Rishonim are grappling with, right, is there going to be more damage or not? Because again, it's the same issues that we had before. And so the question is, are you adding any damage or not? If you're adding damage, then it's a very different question. If you don't have to add damage, then it's not going to be as troubling. If you assume that they are both saying that you can't do it in a way that adds to it, then you have to figure out what the machlokes is, right? If they're both going to agree that you can't add damage, then the chora, you're going to have to say that the machlokas is just some sort of the metzias in terms of, is this going to damage or not? But again, the main thrust of the sugya, again, is to begin to understand the cheskas tashmishin, which again, might be similar to the cheskas karkos, like Rabbi Yonah says, but according to the other Rishonim, they touch on each other, but again, it's not going to be completely like the Chezkas Karka, and you have to figure out which aspects of each are going to be highlighted, going to be necessary when you transfer from one to the other.